ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
अभी इंग्लिश, दिस टाइम इंग्लिश।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ये तो हिंदी वाला नहीं।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
दूसरा बार। हाँ ठीक है, हाँ ठीक है, ठीक है।
So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam from the fifth canto, chapter 14, entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, text number 1, a verse in, a long verse in prose.
Sahuvacha.
It's okay.
Saisa dehatmamaninam sattvade guna vishesa vikalpita kusala kushushakla samma vaharavinir mita viveda dehavali birviyoga samyoga janadi samsaran bhavasya dwarabhutena satindra vargena tasmin durgadavat asugame Dwani apatita isvarasya bhagavato vishnur Vasavatinya mayaya jivalokeyam yatavaniksato Artaparasvadeha nispaditarkamanubhava Svasanavat asivatamayam Sansaratavyam gato nachyapi vifala Bahu pratiyogehastat Tapopasamanim Hari Guru Charana Ravinda Madhukaranu Padavim Avarunde.
Saha, the self-realized devotee. Sri Sukadev Goswami. Ah, indeed.
Uvacha spoke. Saha,
he the conditioned soul.
Isa,
this one.
Dehatmamaninam,
of those who foolishly take the body to be the self.
Sattva adi.
Sattva, Raja and Tama.
Guna,
by the modes.
Vishesha,
particular.
Vikalpita,
falsely constituted.
Kushala,
sometimes by favorable actions.
Akushala,
sometimes by very unfavorable actions.
Samavahara,
by a mixture of both.
Vinirmita,
obtained.
Vivida,
various types.
Deha avalibi,
by the series of bodies.
Viyoga samyogadi,
symptomized by giving up one type of body, Viyoga, and accepting another,
Sanyoga. Anadi sansaranubhavasya,
of the perception of the beginningless process of transmigration.
Dwarabhutena,
existing as the doorways.
Satindriya vargena,
by these six senses, the mind and five knowledge-acquiring senses, namely, the eyes, ears, tongue, nose and skin.
Tasmin,
on that.
Durga Advavat,
like a path that is very difficult to traverse. Asugame, being difficult to pass through. Advani, on a path in the forest. Apattitaha, happened. Ivarasya, of the controller. Bhagavataha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu. Vasavartinya, acting under the control. Mayaya, by the material energy. Jivaloka, the conditioned living entity. Ayam, this. Yata, exactly like. Vanik, a merchant. Saarta, having an object. Artapara, who is very attached to money. Swadehanispadita, performed by his own body. Karma, the fruits of activities. Anubhava, who experiences. Smasanavat, asivatamayam, like an inauspicious cemetery or place of burial. Sansara atavyam, in the forest of material life. Gataha, having entered. Na, not. Adyapi, until now. Vifala, unsuccessful. Bahu Pratyoga, full of great difficulties and varieties of miserable conditions. Iha, whose activities here in this material world. Tattapupa Samanim, which pacifies the miseries of the forest of material life. Hari Guru Charanavinda, Hari Guru Charanavinda, the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotees. Madhukar Anupadavim, the road followed in pursuance of devotees who are attached like bumblebees. Avarunde, gain. Translation. When King Pariksit asked Sukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material forest, Sukadeva replied as follows. My dear king, a man belonging to the mercantile community, Vanik, is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters the forest to acquire some cheap commodities like wood, earth, and seldom, in the city at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters this material world for some material profit. Gradually, he enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. Thus, the living entity comes under the control of the external energy, Daivi Maya. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Once in the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies, one after the other, under the influence of material energy and impelled by the modes of material nature, Sattva Raja, Raja Guna and Tamaguna. In this way, the conditioned soul goes sometimes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to the earthly planets, and sometimes to the lower planets and lower species. Thus he suffers continuously due to different types of bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe and sometimes they are not. These bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. He uses his mind and five senses to acquire knowledge
And these bring about at different bodies in different conditions, using the senses under the control of the external energy. Maya, the living being, suffers the material condition, suffers the miserable conditions of material existence. He's actually searching for relief, but is generally baffled, although sometimes he's relieved after great difficulty. Struggling for existence in this way, he cannot get the shelter of pure devotees who are like bumblebees engaged in loving service at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Purport. The most important information in this verse is Hari Guru Charanaravinda Madhukar Anupadavim. In this material world, the conditioned souls are baffled by their activities and sometimes they're relieved after great difficulty. On the whole, the conditioned soul is never happy. He simply struggles for existence. Actually, his only business is to accept the spiritual master, the Guru. And through him, he must accept the lotus feet of the Lord. This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasada Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. People struggle for material, for existence in the forests or cities of the material world, are not actually enjoying life. They're simply suffering different pains and pleasure, generally pains that are always inauspicious. They try to gain release from these pains, but they cannot due to ignorance. For them it is stated in the Vedas, Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva bikachet. When the living entity is lost in the forest of the material world, in the struggle for existence, his first business is to find a bona fide guru who is always engaged at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. After all, if he's at all eager to be relieved of the struggle for existence, he must find a bona fide guru and take instructions at his lotus feet. In this way, he can get out of the struggle. Since the material world is compared herein to a forest, it may be argued that in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in the cities. A great city, however, is like a forest. Actual city life is more dangerous than life in the forest. If one enters an unknown city without friend or shelter, living in that city is sometimes more difficult than living in a forest. There are many big cities all over the surface of the globe, and whenever one looks, he sees the struggle for existence going on 24 hours a day. People rush about in cars, going 70 and 80 miles an hour, constantly coming and going, and this sets the scene of the great struggle for existence. One has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at breakneck speed. There's always the danger of an accident, and one has to take great care. In his automobile, the living entity is full of anxieties, and his struggle is not at all auspicious. Apart from human beings, other species like cats and dogs are also struggling very hard, day and night, for existence. Thus the struggle for existence continues, and the conditioned soul changes from one position to another. For a while he's a child, but he has to become a boy. From a boy he has to change into a youth, and from youth to manhood and old age. Finally, when the body is no longer workable, he has to accept a new body in a different species. Giving up the body is called death, and accepting another body is called birth. The human form is an opportunity to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, through him, and through him the Supreme Lord. This Krishna conscious movement has been started to give an opportunity to all the members of human society who are misled by foolish leaders. No one can get out of this struggle for existence, which is full of miseries, without accepting a pure devotee of the Lord. The material attempt changes from one position to another, and no one actually gains relief from the struggle for existence. The only resort is the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and through him, the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Jnana Timarandasya Yanandra Salakya Shakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Sigurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As Srila Prabhupada stated, the most important information in this verse is Hari Guru Charanaravinda Madhukar Anupadavim. To take shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master or the Vaishnavas who are like bumblebees always hovering and are always engaged in service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, either Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Tandra charana seva bhakta sanavas janama janama hai eabilas. Narottam Das Thakur prayed that birth after birth I pray to take shelter at the lotus feet of such devotees. The etymological meaning of the word guru is heavy. Heavy not because the spiritual master is necessarily a personality who chastises and is very strong and heavy, but heavy in the sense, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, is that guru is heavy because he cannot be moved from his position. He's always fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the position. Not only is he fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, he is relishing Krishna's unlimited qualities. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4, there is an interesting description about Srimati Radharani, who is representing here the topmost devotee. And it is said that the love of Srimati Radharani is always in competition with the qualities of Krishna. In the sense that the qualities of Krishna are unlimited. And the love of Srimati Radharani is discovering these qualities and then also embracing these qualities. So in this way, she's always discovering more qualities of Krishna, and her love for Krishna is always growing. So I like this portion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita very much, because it really explains the nature of spiritual life. How we are gradually discovering more and more unlimited aspects of Krishna, which are all wonderful, and each one is the most wonderful, and then the next is still the most wonderful. How can one choose? Krishna is so unlimitedly attractive, and still individual devotees are relishing in different ways according to their taste, embracing and loving the unlimited qualities of Krishna. In this way we can understand that since this process of discovering the qualities and loving the qualities of Krishna is unlimited, we can understand that love of God is increasing eternally. And already this has begun. This begins immediately when we come in contact with the pure devotees of the Lord. Because such pure devotees, they reveal to us the wonderful attractive nature of Krishna. They simply are always absorbed in glorifying Krishna. That is their business. We find descriptions in the Bhakti Ratnakar how Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were roaming around Sri Vrindavan Dham. And it is said that Sanatan Goswami was deeply absorbed in constantly glorifying Krishna. He was just endlessly glorifying the unlimited qualities of Krishna. It is also explained that Sanatana Goswami previously was the Prime Minister of the Nawab Hussain Shah, and that therefore he was not only a personality who was spiritually very, very evolved, but he was also on the material plane a very learned and practical personality, extremely intelligent. So everyone would go to Sanatana Goswami for advice. And since Sanatana Goswami was always absorbed in glorifying Krishna, especially through Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore he would automatically speak about Krishna. Automatically. He was always simply thinking about Krishna. So this is the nature of being absorbed, always automatically speaking about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also would always automatically speak about Krishna. I am from Holland, the Netherlands, and there in the center of the city is Dam Square. And when Srila Prabhupada came to that square, he saw that there is a hotel on the square. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, Hotel Krishnapolsky." Actually, the name of the hotel is Krasnapolsky. At least that's what the name used to be, until Prabhupada renamed it to Krishnapolsky. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, Hotel Krishnapolsky, I want to stay there." He didn't stay there, but he did do a program there in that hotel. And now, forever it is Hotel Krishnapolsky. And every year, Rath Yatra is being observed right in front of that hotel, which has not only been renamed, but has been transformed. Transformed by Srila Prabhupada in a Tirtha. Because simply by the presence of the pure devotee who is always absorbed in the glorification of Krishna and always absorbed in chanting the holy name, not only is everyone who comes in touch with that pure devotee in that place being purified, but the very place itself also is transformed by the presence of the pure devotee. At the beginning of the year, I was visiting New York, and I went to Tompkins Square Park to visit that desire tree that is there in Tompkins Square Park. The tree where Srila Prabhupada stood and chanted, one can, which still stands as a symbol for the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement spreading all over the world. The chanting of Hare Krishna, which started from under that tree, and then just went everywhere. So there is a little plaque on the tree which is put there by the city council, and it says Hare Krishna tree. And on the side of the pathway there is a plaque which explains that the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, started his movement from here and was chanting under this tree in 1966 and so on. So it is very nice that tree is remembered like that and is also treated as a holy place. As I stood under the tree, some devotees, they like hugging trees, and they go around in Vrindavan hugging trees. I'm not that type, but this tree I did. And as I stood under the tree, out of nowhere, one boy appeared. And this boy, he asked me, he said, "What should I do if I want to become a monk like you?" So it was that transcendental place which became transformed by the presence of Srila Prabhupada, which just brought about that situation. Where else does someone come up just like that and say, "What should I do if I want to become a monk like you?" Immediately he was touched. So the influence of the great pure devotees is very great in this world, is inconceivably great in this world. Vaishnavira kriya vigya mudra nambujaya. We cannot understand the greatness of the pure devotee. We have no idea. We can glorify Srila Prabhupada, which obviously we did yesterday all over the world, and all over the world so many devotees shared so many wonderful insights about Srila Prabhupada, and yet none of us can understand the full glories of Srila Prabhupada, by no means. One cannot understand the position of the superior Vaishnava. That is impossible. His greatness by far exceeds anything we can imagine, anything we can know. In Bhagavatam, we sometimes read about great personalities and great Vaishnavas. And there is one section in the Bhagavatam where Dhruva Maharaj is feeling insulted and goes to the forest after having been instructed by his mother to try and meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Dhruva sits down, at that time Narada Muni appears. And then it is explained in the purport that Narada Muni appeared because Narada Muni was totally aware of the condition of Dhruva Maharaj's heart, which is quite amazing. And then in the purport it further explains that Narada Muni is fully aware of whatever goes on within the heart of all living beings. I mean, that's quite something. Right? When we read something like that and just imagine the position of Narada Muni, then we can see that Narada Muni is almost practically
as much empowered as the super soul. As the super soul knows what goes on in the heart of all living beings, Narada also. So, at the same time, Narada Muni is in the category of Jiva Tattva. He is a living being. Anu, he is a living being, atomic in size. He is not Vibhu, he is not omniscient, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Abhigya in the first verse of Bhagavatam, Jamadiyasi Atonvita. Abhigya, he is described. But Narada, he knows. So we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine to what extent a pure devotee is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated also that the Supreme Lord can empower a devotee as much as himself, as he desires. Talking about this topic of empowerment, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the living being in his eternal position is Satsit Anant. He's eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And that empowerment in this world means that one becomes empowered with the Sit and Anant potency or Shakti. Sat we are not having in the material world. The soul, of course, is eternal, but the soul is not really in the material world. But Sit Anant, so empowerment means that these qualities are again emerging. They are again emerging. Re-emerging. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudha Chitta Karya Udai. Udai is again awakening. This Krishna Prem is again awakening in the heart of the living being. It is already there, but has become covered and forgotten. In this way. Srila Prabhupada has made enormous arrangements for distributing the mercy of the Lord everywhere. Dhanam ti saksat bhagavat pranitam. That the mercy of the Lord, or true religious principles, begin with Krishna. And then evam parampara pratam imam rajasyo vidu. Then in the cyclic succession it comes down. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that each link in the cyclic succession receives that transcendental knowledge. Then he will apply that transcendental knowledge in his own life. Then he will realize that transcendental knowledge in his own life, which will produce many wonderful fruits, individual fruits of love of God, individual experiences of love of God. In one sense, the same that every devotee feels totally overwhelmed in these symptoms of love of God, and yet each is getting individual fruits of love of God. And then, in turn, upon realizing this knowledge, then pushes forward this transcendental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada also mentions that sometimes, he says, that there are acharyas like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Narottam Das Thakur, their words are as good as scripture. As good as scripture, whatever they say, it is as good as scripture. The same for Srila Prabhupada. Whatever he said, we take it as good as scripture. Absolute. Whatever. He said, but there are others who are less qualified. They also act as spiritual master, but they're very careful to repeat the words of those who are of those great acharyas. So in this way, we are all part of a transcendental movement. Everyone is carrying that mercy. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description about the descent of the Ganga. And it is interesting. It is describing how Vamanadev cracked the shell of the universe and a drop of the causal ocean comes into the material universe and it begins to fall down. And as it's coming down in the universe, the sages are worshipping the Ganges. And then it comes, as it's approaching the heavenly planets, the demigods are approaching that Ganga. And they are catching the water in kumbhas. And they are carrying it down. They're carrying it down. And then it comes to the heavenly planets as the Mandakini, and then from there comes down to our planet. Lord Shiva catches Ganga on the head. Upon the request of Maharaj Bhagirathi, Ganga is released. Then Ganga goes down further as Bhogavati, also to the lower planetary systems. Now, in the heavenly planets, where the demigods are fully aware of the Ganga, they are eager to carry the Ganga. They are eager to carry that mercy. So that knowing that mercy is now flooding the entire three worlds, let us become an instrument in this also. Because there is the greatest benefit. So the demigods understanding that the greatest benefit comes from being an instrument in carrying that mercy along are carrying the Ganga in kumbhas. Then, on this planetary system, people are bathing in the Ganga. Still, Kumbh Mela, which is coming soon, is still the biggest gathering in the world in one place. So, bathing in Ganga is going on. But why are people going for Kumbh Mela? They are going because they know very well that some drops of nectar are falling into Ganga. And they know that whoever takes bath at that time will get liberation. Whoa. They come in the millions. They come. And then, it's that in the lower planetary systems, when the Ganga reaches there, it is just neglected. It is there, the blessings are there, but nobody cares, nobody knows. So in the same way, the transcendental mercy of the pure devotees is coming into this world. Those who take shelter at the lotus feet of such pure devotees and become the instrument of the pure devotees and carry that transcendental mercy that they are carrying, at least some quantity of it, and carry that further and become instruments of the pure devotee, they are the most fortunate. They are getting the most benefit. Those who are somehow or other received the mercy of the pure devotee and who change their life, who adjust their life to the extent that they are just, they're also getting great benefit. Those who are being touched by that mercy, but unknowingly, they're also getting benefit, but to a lesser extent. But the mercy of Srila Prabhupada is very great. It is very great. Anyone, Prabhupada, in the Chaitanya Charitam, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, I'll come to a conclusion now. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a mention how some brahmanas invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch. They were qualified brahmanas, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, I will only accept an offering from those who are lakpatis." In lakpatis, in those, now of course crorapati, but in those days, 500 years ago, lakpati was very rich. So they said, "Oh, no one has such wealth." But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained and said, "No, I mean one who chants 1 lakh of names." From that day, everyone started to chant 1 lakh of names, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted their offerings. Then Srila Prabhupada brought it down to 16 rounds. But what he gave in those 16 rounds was still the full mercy. The full mercy. Although he lowered the threshold, he did not lower the quantity of the mercy. He still gave the full mercy. The mercy, the opportunity to go back to Godhead. On many occasions, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that if one chants 16 rounds and follows 4 regulative principles, then one will go back to Godhead. In Portland, he said that very thing, and then at the end, I guarantee it, 3 times. Prabhupada also said, in regards to Lord Brahma, he said, "Lord Brahma granted Hiranyakasipu that he would not be killed in the day, the night, not inside, outside, and so on." And it said, because Lord Brahma granted that, Rishi Uchu, the saintly person, said, Krishna upheld his words. So, Prabhupada said, so, if the saintly person says, if one chants 16 rounds and follows 4 regulative principles, one will go back to Godhead, then one must go. So Prabhupada made it so easy. Little pain, little austerity, little fighting of the mind, little fighting of the senses. It's tough, I know, but still, so easy to go back to Godhead. So easy. Then if we become the instrument, and besides that we chant ourselves and follow ourselves, distribute this mercy, then all that mercy we distribute will be with more mercy than before, says Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in this way, this is our movement. A movement of ourselves drinking this holy name, is hearing and chanting, giving up sinful activities, and distributing the mercy widely. And that is our aim. That is our objective. Srila Prabhupada especially wanted to spread the mercy through distributing his books. So the December marathon is not far away. So we will be watching the scores of this temple.
and see if there is an increase from last year. So in this way we want to do something, something to contribute to Srila Prabhupada's mission. We want to take shelter of standards of purity and then do something. And that is really the essence. A beautiful day of glorification. Beautiful flowers. Beautiful words spoken. But Srila Rupa Goswami, in the 19th chapter of Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, speaks about how most living entities are impious. He says, and of those who are pious, those who follow the Vedic injunctions, most are just rendering lip service. So we must do something. We must do something. Something to spread this Krishna consciousness. That should be our meditation. In that way, we are truly connecting with the lotus feet of the pure devotee. And then, all mercy will be there. And then, we will go back to Godhead without a doubt. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Any question? Any comment? Nisringananda Prabhu.
Thank you very much for this wonderful sharing. The word bona fide keeps coming up throughout the purport, and so I had, and then we're talking about our movement, and you kind of touched on the issue of the guru within the movement. So I had a situation where if there were a situation where a young person was coming from a village where they took first and second initiation from a bona fide representative in, let's say, the Sri Sampradaya, and then they come and they get a copy of Prabhupada's Gita and they go, oh my gosh, this is beyond anything my guru's ever taught me. But they were duly initiated in a Sampradaya that we recognize. And they come to the temple and they say, I would like to surrender here. I would like to offer my life to serving Prabhupada and his mission. I would like to distribute books. I would like to do deity worship. I would like to do offerings. I would like to do whatever. Is that the context of their initiation? Is that sufficient from the point of view of the management of ISKCON that person is thereby qualified to take up the service without taking on the shiksha of the temple authorities and of Srila Prabhupada?
I don't know if I can fully speak for the management. You know, whatever is sufficient for the management is one thing. But I can give a spiritual perspective on the matter and then leave it up to the management to decide what they want to do with it. Because, after all, I'm not part of the management these days. The mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extraordinarily great. The teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are undoubtedly the most complete in the most profound. Although there are four bona fide sampradayas in this age of Kali, mentioned in the Padma Purana, the other three sampradayas are considered bona fide because they offer an eternal situation. They either may offer us a position in Vaikuntha and so on, but none of them can offer the full understanding of the love of God as it is experienced by the residents of Vrindavan. Even Uddhava, who was considered the topmost devotee in Dwarka, was overwhelmed to see the love that the residents of Vrindavan had. So, the highest quality of love of God is made available by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If a person comes, is from the Sri Sampradaya, is duly initiated, then it depends on the position of that person. You spoke about a young boy. Generally, young boys are beginners, not so deep in their spiritual life, not so realized. If such a young boy would come, he would not have realized the teachings that he received from the Sri Sampradaya very deeply. It would not have awoken love in his heart. Right? He could come if he would stay here and would just connect through a siksha connection. Then he would have to fight his own personal weakness. See, siksha connections are fine if the person who is taking the siksha and making the connection is of great strength, and if such a person is just with full heart and soul taking the instruction, then the connection is thoroughly made, as good as diksha. But when we are not so advanced, though duly initiated in another sampradaya, and we come, then we carry with us inherent weakness, our inability to surrender. Like one thing I mentioned last night was the distance between us and Prabhupada is not a distance of time. Prabhupada is still present. The distance between us and Prabhupada is our inability to take shelter of his instructions. That is the distance between us and him. So, because it might be expected that such a person coming out of the Sri Sampradaya, the young boy you described, would not have so much realized surrender in his heart, through the process that they give. Therefore, it would be very difficult for him to be here and to not again connect through vows. Because by again connecting through vows, right, he would become more firmly fixed, because he would feel obliged. He would be obliged by that promise, bound by it. He couldn't, his mind could not find any leeway to escape. Therefore, I would recommend him to again take initiation in this Gaudiya Sampradaya coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, if someone would come from the Sri Sampradaya and would be a very deep Vaishnava, mature Vaishnava, right? And would be very favorable and would come to our society, and he would come to stay in this temple, then I would not recommend such a mature Vaishnava to again take diksha. And when I use the word mature, I mean spiritually mature, not just gray hairs. but spiritually mature. I think that's a spiritual perspective. Now, how you managerially deal with all these things, that is another matter, complicated. We do know that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Mayapur established the temple of Gandharvika Giridhari, and around the temple on four sides had the as the deities of the acharyas installed, prasadam of the deities offered to these acharyas, and that his comment was that all the four sampradayas will become united under one sampradaya, the sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was not just a prediction, that was an active agenda item of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which we have inherited. So it is our active agenda item. So on the strength of that, we can see authority in my earlier suggestion. Bhajari, whenever we should stop, you know, like, and one more, okay, yeah, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, as for the Vedic astrology, Vedic
can you repeat, I couldn't hear, as for the?
Vedic astrology.
Vedic astrology.
There are certain conditions by which an expert astrologer can predict that this is your last birth.
Uh-huh.
In some case, he says that you have to take one more birth. You will be liberated.
Uh-huh.
And in many cases, they say that you have to take another 9 births or 10 births, or even 100 births, like that. So those conditions are described there.
Okay.
Now, as per our promise by Srila Prabhupada, many people join and everybody has a different planetary position. Yes. So the person having only one birth to take, and 10 birth to death, they will all be liberated by following this process sincerely.
Okay. So, the Vedic astrologer, who would be very expert, I'm not sure where there is such a Vedic astrologer, but theoretically, an expert Vedic astrologer might be able to calculate when it would be someone's last life. And a person would be eligible for liberation. How is that possible? It would be possible because the Vedic astrologer can calculate the punya. He can see the piety in a person, the pious karma. So he can see all the previous pious karma. He can see also the pious planets that are there. And he can see that a person will act in a pious way, and therefore he can see an indication that a person might go back to God. 100% guarantee he doesn't have, because ultimately depends on the mercy of the Lord. That factor of mercy of the Lord is always there. So the Vedic astrologer cannot 100% say. What the Vedic astrologer cannot see, he can see punya, but he cannot see the sukriti, the benefit that comes from devotional service. He cannot calculate it, it is not written in the stars. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam it says that the rasi chart, or the birth chart, applies to what takes birth. And then it says the soul never takes birth. It is the soul that makes eternal spiritual advancement by devotional service, and its whole position changes. Srila Prabhupada once said that by the chanting of Hare Krishna, if a person chants Hare Krishna once, he changes. You can look at me, Hare Krishna, have I changed? Have I changed? You didn't watch, look again. Hare Krishna, have I changed? Yes? How? What has changed?
Power of vibrations.
Huh?
Power of vibrations of holy name.
Vibrations, huh? What Srila Prabhupada said, he said, what has changed is the subtle body has changed. Huh? By the chanting of Hare Krishna, gradually, all that karma, the whole subtle body, everything, dissolved. Then we can become eligible to go back to Godhead, this very lifetime. Okay. One last short point. You may remember that old story about the brahmana and the cobbler. And the cobbler, the brahmana didn't have much faith. When Narada Muni was going, the Narada asked the Lord how many more births both the brahmana and cobbler had to take. The Lord said, tell them I was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. Brahmana said, how is this possible? How many more lives he had to go, Narada said. The cobbler, he was told, when he heard about the needle and the elephant, he said, yes, 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 why not? How you believe this, Narada said? He can put a whole banyan tree in his seat, I can believe. How many more lives? He said, as many lives as there are leaves on this tree. He said, and then all the leaves fell off the tree. Because the cobbler had so much faith. So it is faith, ultimately. Faith, that is the final determining factor. So if with great faith we take shelter of the pure devotee of Srila Prabhupada, then back to Godhead. Even although we should have stayed here for practically eternally. And that's Prabhupada's promise and his motto. That's why his magazine is called Back to Godhead. You know, like if you listen to the name, Back to Godhead, it's too long for a magazine. You can see they're called Time, Life, you know? Should have been Godhead, you know, from a technical point of view, you know? Language point of view. But no, Back to Godhead. That's Prabhupada's motto. Back to Godhead. So let us just... And Krishna praying, we'll either get it here or we'll get it there. Don't worry about that. Doesn't matter where we'll get it. Let's go back to Godhead. Yes, Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll end now.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
One question. Maharaj, I'm speaking Hindi.
Hindi, huh?
Yes.
अच्छा
जैसे हम लोग देखते हैं कि हमारे संस्था इस्कन परंपरा में अनेक भक्त लोग भक्ति करते हैं प्रामाणिक गुरु से दीक्षा लेते हैं जैसे गुरु महाराज अभी परंपरा में है लेकिन कुछ कुछ भक्त लोग अपने इस्कन को छोड़ करके दूसरा कहाँ पे चल जाते हैं जैसे अलग परम वो भी गौड़िया है उसमें जाते वो भी हरकृष्ण मंत्र जप करते हैं वो बोलते हैं हमको सिद्धि प्रणाली हमको जल्दी भगवत धाम मिल जाएगा हमको इसी जन्म में हमारे गुरु जी हमको बोल देंगे हमारा स्वरूप क्या है इस्कन संस्था में दीक्षा लिए हैं उनके गुरु जी है लेकिन गुरु जी परंपरा में उनको छोड़ करके अलग जगह पे चल जाते बारे में थोड़ा बताएंगे ठीक
अच्छा 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 ओके
स्वीकार करते हैं आइए वो गुरु महाराज जी बोलते हैं आ जाओ हमारे पास आ जाओ
ठीक है He's speaking about that in ISKCON, there are many devotees who've taken Diksha in ISKCON and everything bona fide, but they give up their own spiritual master and then they go to other Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Well, if the spiritual master is bona fide, then one must dedicate his life to him. If one has taken initiation from a spiritual master and that spiritual master is bona fide, then he must dedicate his life to the spiritual master. And it is an offense to just give up the service of that spiritual master. So that's not auspicious. Sometimes someone feels that there is a higher Vaishnava somewhere else and then they give up their own spiritual master to go to the higher Vaishnava. But that is not appropriate, because their spiritual master is bona fide, is following all spiritual standards, and therefore is not to be abandoned. So that is not auspicious. If someone's guru has fallen, Sometimes we see that those whose guru fell down, they lost faith, or faith was broken, and then they searched shelter of other Gaudiya Vaishnavas outside of ISKCON. I think that is another matter. If their guru fell, then there is no offense in taking shelter there. But if the guru did not fall, then how can they give up his service? It's guru is not a button on the bead bag, right? Guru is not just a picture on the altar. Guru is not just you have one so that you are also initiated, have spiritual name. Guru is our life and soul. We should not spend our whole life investigating, is my guru bona fide? Is he really bona fide? How bona fide is my guru? Is he bona fide? Is he bona fide? After initiation, our first meditation should be to become a bona fide disciple. Because that's very difficult. It's going to take us a whole lifetime, and maybe more, to become a bona fide disciple. To give everything, every moment in service to the spiritual master. Very difficult. Very difficult. So But it is to be expected that many people who will come to our movement will not be so serious. It's to be expected. Anyway, whatever may be, anyone who is engaging in devotional service, we always offer them our respect. Even if they've left ISKCON, gone elsewhere, left their guru, still a devotee, respect. But I have much more respect for those who serve their spiritual master faithfully throughout their life. Those are the devotees I want to be with. Yeah. Yes. Those are the devotees. Prabhupada will know them. They'll get the blessings of their spiritual master, the blessing of Prabhupada. See, it was Prabhupada who brought down that mercy to 16 realms and 4 regulative principles in that way. Now we are giving initiation, 4 regulative principles and 16 realms in the same way. Those who are currently initiating. So we can do that because Prabhupada's promise still stands. See, I feel confident, although I'm not a great person, but I feel confident that if somehow or other by destiny I also wound up giving initiation, I feel confident that when I ask people 4 regulator principles, 16 rounds, and they follow, that I can say to them, yes, you will go back to Godhead. And if they ask me why, I will say, because Prabhupada promised it. His promise still stands. In this way, if we're just faithful to our spiritual masters, we can all go back to Godhead. So forget this restlessness, going here and there, shopping here, shopping there. Forget, this is restlessness, just restlessness, not necessary. Just stay and serve. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.